for someone, you know, with a high school education, once I started to eat massive amounts of sprouts, I felt like, you know, I took the pill and I'm in the matrix and I've become limitless. So it's really, you know, quite powerful.
Welcome to the show, Doug. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Please share with everyone a bit about yourself and sort of what you do, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, right now what I do is I'm educating the world on the power of sprouts and sprouting. So if you think about it, sprouts are vegetables and they've been around since the beginning of time. And most people think of sprouts as a garnish or as a snack. And they're part of many different cuisines, whether it's an Asian cuisine or a hippie cuisine, and in different cultures. But in America, sprouts are virtually unknown outside of the health food world or Asian cuisine. And when I moved to the desert, which was about 5 years ago, I realized not only was I in the Mojave Desert near Joshua Tree, but that I was in a food desert. And being in a food desert meant that I did not have easy access to health food stores, high quality produce, vegan restaurants, that where I was junk food, convenience stores, and fast food chains. And so one night while I'm eating the final leftovers from my trip to LA, I realized that if I didn't come up with a solution for food, then I'd have a serious problem. And so I'm looking up at the stars, and as the stars were twinkling, I was quasi hallucinating, and I saw every star as a sprout. And I looked at the Milky Way, and then I got this deep download about sprouts being like the beginning of life on this planet. Were seeds that germinated, that sprouted, and that replicated themselves a billion times over. And I went down that rabbit hole trying to understand the genesis and the beginning of sprouts. But then I quickly sobered up and realized that seeds were concentrated forms of energy. So people in all around the world ate seeds and nuts. Very popular, people were eating seeds and nuts. But when you sprout a seed, you germinate it, you release this stored energy, and you can double the antioxidant levels, triple the vitamin C, quadruple the fiber, both soluble and insoluble fiber, and that these sprouts were miraculous things. They were just miraculous. And so within about a month, most of my calories were coming from sprouts that I was growing in 1 cubic foot. So less than a third of a cubic meter, I'm growing enough sprouts for all of my calories, all of my micronutrients, all of my phytonutrients, all of my flavonoids. I'm getting all the amino acids to form proteins, and I felt just alive, and that prompted me to write the Sprout book. And so I went to New York, I pitched my book, and believe it or not, the Sprout book became the number one best-selling vegetarian cookbook on Amazon. And so this was all very powerful for me. And so since then, and now the book launched in April 2020, I've been spending my time educating people and sharing information about sprouts and sprouting.
Wow. So given the fact that your first book became an instant bestseller.
Wasn't instant. It took 2 years to hit the bestseller list.
Wow.
And then
2 years.
Two years, that's a pretty sort of solid time. And with your socials, I've noticed you've been doing an amazing job on your social media, especially TikTok and other like Instagram. So you're like on top of the marketing, the book selling. Did you have prior sort of marketing or business experience, Doug?
I had business experience, but I had not been on social, you know, and basically, like, I never used TikTok up until 6 weeks ago. And then everyone was saying, wow, well, Doug, you really should be on TikTok. So 6 weeks ago, I launched my Sprout Wiz TikTok account and now has 65,000 followers, over 10 million views, 500,000 likes. And, you know, several of my videos have, you know, gone viral, 100,000, 200,000, 500,000. And I think I have four that have exceeded 1 million views on TikTok and in 6 weeks. Because I think the topic resonates with people. People want to be healthy. They want to be sovereign. They want to do things by themselves. They, you know, and Sprouts are a way for them to take control of their lives.
Talking about doing things themselves, you said you were able to grow enough calories worth of Sprouts in a cubic meter.
Oh, a fraction of a cubic meter.
That is crazy, because I remember during COVID, my mom, we had a small mini sort of plant sort of garden. Maybe it was literally this wide by this high. And, you know, it would take ages to grow celery, tomatoes. It would take, you know, 6 weeks at a time for a little bit. And we could, you know, it was for fun. We could barely survive off it. How do you create something that you can eat every day?
I think the difference between Sprouts and growing an herb garden is an herb garden is predominantly growing green leafy vegetables and you're only eating above the fold. And with Sprouts, the leaves are very small, so it's highly, highly concentrated and dense. And that you're able to grow the sprouts in days, whereas to grow vegetables can take weeks or months or years. So just the nutritional density and concentration of these seeds forms the calories. Like 1 cup of, say, garbanzo beans is over 250 calories and 20 grams of protein. So these are nutritional powerhouses that are bioavailable, and you can grow them just using a jar and some cheesecloth.
Wow. So someone can start getting self-sufficient on like a fraction of a cubic meter of soil.
Correct. That's right. No soil. No soil, no sunshine, no fertilizer. The magic of sprouts is that they contain within them the endosperm, the embryo, the life force, and they're in a very hard shell. And the soaking process removes the enzyme inhibitors, the trypsins, the lectins, in order to stimulate the growth. So a seed is a complete living organism in a dormant stage. And when you create the right environment, as I describe in my book, you're able to wake up this seed and begin a whole metabolic process and transformation from seed into sprout.
Would you constantly be having to buy new seeds, or I able?
Yeah, you always have to buy new seeds.
Got it. Talking about all this sort of scientific things, did you have a scientific background, Doug, or did you just sort of?
I have a high school education. So, but I do know how to read, and I am fearless, and I built a very comprehensive network. After I completed my first 30 days of Sprouts, I was concerned that maybe this was too good to be true. Like, it was just seemed so good to be true that I felt compelled to ask medical professionals. So I contacted Dr. Oz and Dr. Josh Axe and Dr. Dean Ornish and Dr. Joel Kahn and Dr. Joel Furman. And the interesting thing is some of these doctors were functional medicine, like Dr. Mark Hyman. And some of them were ketogenic, like Dr. Axe. And some of them were plant-based, like Joel Fuhrman and Joel Kahn. But the thing that they all had in common is that they all loved sprouts.
Wow. And what has been the main health benefits you've noticed over the last 5 years of eating broccoli sprouts?
Well, I eat broccoli sprouts, azuki sprouts, alfalfa, radish, clover, chia, flax, lentils, all sorts of lentils and peas. And the benefits for me, I think the broccoli sprouts are really the longevity sprout, right? They open up, you know, all these neural pathways in the brain, and they help with healing, and they have these chemoprotective anti-cancer properties. So I love broccoli sprouts. The other sprouts are an incredibly rich source of amino acids, fibers, proteins, starches, antioxidants. So basically, every benefit of the whole food plant-based diet can be achieved by eating exclusively sprouts. Now, I'm not promoting that everyone just eat sprouts, but sprouts are so easy that you could eat just sprouts, or you could add the sprouts to everything else you eat. Every dish, every opportunity, every time someone eats, they can add sprouts to their dishes.
Interesting. What's your thoughts on fish? I meant fruits.
I think fruits are amazing. You know, fruits are absolutely amazing. And if you put me around fruits, I will eat them. It's hard to grow fruits in the desert. We grow mulberries in the desert. We grow dates in the desert, but we grow pomegranates in the desert. But other than that, not a lot of fruits grow.
Interesting. The other day, I had a professor, and he was talking about the diets of the Okinawan people, some people in Italy, all these sort of blue zone sort of diets, and nuts was like a huge proponent, and that definitely matches up with sort of everything you've been saying. But they also eat a lot of, I guess, fish. That's popular, and a lot of, I guess, not too much, but brown rice. Some potatoes. What's your thoughts on like fish, brown rice?
Fish I never touch. Mm. Like, I think fish are sentient beings. I think the methods of fishing are extremely unhealthy for the environment, and certainly unhealthy for the fish. So I like to leave those, you know, fish alone. And I think brown rice is a great food. Not for me, but I think brown rice is a great food.
Now, do you think each person has a diet that is sort of suited for them? Because we've seen people go into carnivore diets and they absolutely thrive, but another person might try the same carnivore diet and just be sick to the stomach.
I think there's no long-term evidence or research of the sustainability of the carnivore diet. I think the plant-based diet has been researched, and the jury has decided across many, many different standards that the whole food plant-based diet is safe for everyone to eat at all stages of life, you know, from infancy through geriatric.
Interesting. Okay. And another thing that one of these clips I saw from you, Doug, that really turned on a light bulb was you don't eat cooked foods. And you were sort of sharing the science on how when food is heated up, fried in oil, it creates these
carcinogens.
Yeah, carcinogens. That's right. Tell me more about that. That was like a mind-boggling sort of eye-opener.
Yeah, I mean, processed food like potato chips, things that are heated at very high temperatures, form a known carcinogen called acrylamide. So I don't want to eat highly processed food to begin with, but when you have highly processed food like Doritos or other things, they're extremely toxic. So in general, I love fresh, ripe, organic fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, seaweeds, and fermented fruits like pickles and sprouts and seaweeds. So there's a whole array of things that I get to eat. And as a result of eating all of these good things, I have no desire and no room to eat other stuff.
Do you have a sort of breakfast, lunch, dinner sort of daily setup, or do you sort of munch and sort of have small bites throughout the whole day?
I have a small feeding window between like noon and 6 or 7 p.m. So I eat nothing until noon. Then I eat a little fruit. Then I have some more fruit. Then middle afternoon, I start snacking on sprouts. And then I have a large sprout salad with different seaweeds and different toppings. And then I'm done with eating for the day.
What's the max? Would that be intermittent fasting where you're sort of having...
Intermittent fasting, or also known as the fasting mimicking diet.
Got it. Recently, I've been skipping breakfast. Usually, I'd always eat breakfast and I'd skip it. And my first meal would be around midday, similar to you. And personally, I just found myself more awake during the morning session. I'm able to get more work done in the morning. Other than that, why do you do it?
I do it because digestion takes a lot of energy. And I think that what I like to eat. So once I start to eat, I tend to eat a lot. So I think reducing the feeding windows, you know, is a good control and discipline measure that I have the energy before and after I eat, which is what I'm looking for. I want that high energy.
Interesting. Besides the diet, do you do any other sort of things such as meditation or exercise or working out? Are there any things you do that...
I have a daily meditation practice. So I meditate at least 30 minutes, at least once a day, every day. I run. So I'm in the desert, so it's nice and hot. So I run between 5 and 10K on a daily basis. And I do some yoga.
What's your thoughts on like lemon water? Or do you just drink water on its own?
I think lemon water is fine. Like I'm able to drink water on my own. I actually don't drink a lot of water except when I'm on my runs.
Okay.
Because most of what I'm consuming is water-based fruits and vegetables.
Do you think, bringing it back to like cancer and those carcinogenic foods, do you think people had cancer back in the day before processed foods? Or do you think cancer is a new thing because of processed foods?
I think that the amount of cancer cases that are caused by lifestyle activity, whether it's access to smoke, whether it's through processed food, whether it's through radiation and other things, is probably the highest level we've had in human history. But I'm far from an oncologist or even a cancer philosopher, but I do think a lot of this is created by both environment and lifestyle, and more now than ever in history.
Could you break down more in depth how you're talking about how the sprouts had a certain sort of setup where it would help prevent cancer, or it had sort of chemo-like sort of properties?
There are chemoprotective properties in sprouts that are very effective in reducing or killing cancer cells. What I think about those is that you have to be able to be aware of when and how you're consuming the foods, but basically the properties, the defense mechanism that exists within the plants to protect it from its predators, you know, predominantly insects, is actually beneficial for us in killing those cancer cells.
Got it. And those protective sort of sort of chemicals or whatever it is, they lie in all sort of plant-based foods.
Yeah, I mean, every plant has its own unique characteristics. We talked about broccoli sprouts earlier. They're the ones that have been most tested. So there's thousands of peer-reviewed published papers on the health benefits and healing properties of broccoli sprouts.
And when you mention healing properties, besides sort of healing against sort of killing cancer cells, are there any type of healing properties they also have?
Well, broccoli sprouts in specific have been tested to help prevent the early onset of Alzheimer's. Broccoli sprouts have been tested to detoxify benzene from the lungs. Broccoli sprouts have been tested to increase the heat shock proteins in the brain that reduce the symptoms of autism. Broccoli sprouts and other sprouts have been proven to regulate insulin levels in diabetics. So it, the and I'm not a doctor, so I'm sharing a little bit of what I do know, but they're incredibly protective and health forming.
Have you found yourself more focused and more switched on with this diet and more awake and more having more energy with these sort of?
Absolutely. I mean, for someone, with a high school education, once I started to eat massive amounts of sprouts, I felt like, I took the pill and I'm in the matrix and I've become limitless. So it's really, quite powerful.
Why do you think more people ain't on, like, why are not more people doing this and sort of study drugs such as, I forgot what that study drug is that makes you really focused. Stuff like that is more popular. Why isn't?
Well, I think we live in a convenience culture. It's easier to take drugs and pills than it is to grow vegetables and then eat them. And I think that the fact that they can't be easily converted into pills and into supplements, and therefore they can't get marketing behind them, that they're not growing and people aren't aware of them, which is why my work is so important, because every person that I speak to, and I don't care whether one person on your podcast listens to this or, 1,000, once people resonate with sprouts, they then get more involved, which is why, my content is going viral. The book is in the ninth printing and people are reaching out more. And I talk to people all day long, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, about sprouts.
Were you the first person to be the sprout person? Were, like such as Wim Hof with breathing, were you the first sprout guy, Doug?
I think there were many sprout people before me that laid a great groundwork. Ann Wigmore, Victoros Kavinskis, Steve Meyerowitz, but they are not attuned. They're not on TikTok. Some of them aren't alive. They're not on Instagram, and they're in their later stages of their life, where for me, I couldn't believe that this information was there and it wasn't being disseminated. So that's what I made my purpose. And now, like I could see in 5 years, sprouts will be as mainstream as kale. Like everyone will know about sprouts.
Now, why is meat so bad?
I mean, why do you think?
You're eating something that is dead, and if you eat something that's dead, it might make you feel dead inside. I guess that's sort of what I'm thinking.
I mean, I think from a level of efficiency, a cow is a very poor producer of calories. That you have to feed a cow thousands of calories a day, for months, if not years. And so a tremendous amount of energy and human resources and land and grain and grass go to feed cows. And probably only 10% of the calories that feed the cow get translated into edible food. And when you're eating something like sprouts, it's a one-to-one ratio. You take the seeds, you sprout them, and sprouts actually have a multiplying effect, you know, without other additives and preservatives. So I just tend to be very efficient. And when you think about the global climate impact of the methane gases produced by cows, burps and farts, the land that they require, the clear cutting of trees, the fact that they're spraying the crops in order for the cow to eat, and then the murder of the cow is just hard for me to fathom. So I think that on the water level, at the most conservative estimates, it's about 1,500 gallons to prepare 1 pound of beef. And you can grow a pound of broccoli sprouts with about 1 gallon of water. So it's very efficient on that front.
Are the groceries, the vegetables and the greens at our sort of large supermarket chains? So in Australia, we have Woolworths. In America, it might be Costco. Are these vegetables and greens chemically engineered so they can grow much faster? And if we're eating it, it's not really healthy? Is that a thing?
Well, I think eating any vegetable is better than eating any meat. So I'll put that out there. I think that there are multiple standards. There's conventional produce and there's certified organic produce. I would opt for the certified organic, but I'd rather eat the conventional. There's untold and mysterious, and it's hard for me to speculate, the degrees of pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, fungicides that might have been applied to those, to that produce. So, but I would tend, what I like about sprouts is that you could grow them indoors without soil, sunshine, or fertilizer or pesticides, and you're getting a fresh crop every time you consume them.
That chemical within sprouts that give you longevity and fights against sort of cancer, is it possible to distill that down into a supplement or a chemical? Has that been done before?
People have been trying it for, you know, for decades to do. It turns out that the chemicals require multiple chemicals to actually have a chemical reaction to form the sulforaphane. So it requires, as part of the glucosinolates and the isothiocyanates, there's one compound called glucoraphanin, and it's almost like an vacuole. And there's another vacuole that's next to it, which is the enzyme called myrosinase. And when you chew it or juice it, it breaks down those vacuoles, those little water balloons, and they mix, and then they form a very fast acting compound, sulforaphane. So it's, there's the glucoraphanin exists within the broccoli seed and potentially under other cruciferous vegetable seeds, but the enzyme myrosinase isn't present until it grows and develops and you merge the two, almost like you're using two-part epoxy.
Wow, got it. So it's really, really hard to distill and separate because it requires everything together. It requires the munching of them, breaking and combining of the molecules. Hence, you can't really create a tablet form of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Recently, I've been doing a lot of juicing. Like, I have a juicer, put in celery, carrots, orange, apples, and it creates a sort of amazing fruit juice. But then it also puts away all the fibers. Am I missing out on a lot of fibers, or is this a pretty good and efficient way to consume fruits?
I mean, if that was the only vegetables you had juice, then you would be missing out on fiber. If you're eating enough whole food, plant-based vegetables, then I would think of juicing, fresh juicing, as a supplementation, and I would view it in a very positive light.
Coming back to sprouts, when I go to my supermarket, they're not lying around. It's not a thing yet, is it?
It depends on where you are in the world. In the United States, it's a thing. In Japan, it's a thing. Broccoli sprouts alone are being sold in more than 20,000 retail stores in Japan.
Wow. And with all like everything you're talking about, is it commonly known in Japan? Is that why there's so many broccoli sprouts?
Yes. Yeah, they know they're clued in Japan and in Korea. They're very clued in.
Huh. Very cool. So I guess, Doug, tell me more about your book and the journey to write that. How long ago was that published?
The book came out on April 7th, 2020. It took me about 2 years to write. And it's basically why to sprout, how to sprout, nutritional benefits of sprouts, and sprout recipes and sprouting resources.
And where can people sort of buy your book, or where's the best place for people to find it?
I would say any bookseller and whoever the online booksellers are in Australia, book is readily available. It's actually doing pretty well in Australia. And I went on Simon Hill's The Proof podcast, and he's an Aussie, and I did was on his podcast twice. So the Australian market is tuned in and positive on sprouts and sprouting.
Most definitely. And you said it's already on its ninth version. Does that
Yeah,
mean you're
ninth
always,
edition.
are you, does that mean you have been always adding new things to it? What
No,
has been?
it just means they sell out and they print it again.
Got it. That makes
And
sense.
so,
Tell me about the recent social media sort of journey. Like you've blew up on TikTok. Do you have a TikTok person sort of giving you guidance, or have you been able to figure this all out on your own, Doug?
I have someone helping me on the TikTok, but I've been shooting the content and coming up with the messages. And, I think it's a very friendly platform, and it's fun to do, and I love the reaction to it.
What do you think allowed you to grow so fast on TikTok? What would your advice be for creators trying to blow up and grow fast on TikTok?
I think the thing is, you have to have great content. You just have to have great content. And turns out my content is, I've been working on my content for 20 years. So all I'm doing is taking this fresh content, packaging it up, and putting out on a new platform. And it had never been published before. So people resonate with it, and it's just blowing their mind.
Now, how do you have all this energy to be constantly going on so many different podcasts, creating so many pieces of content? Do you attribute all this energy towards your diet, your
100%.
fitness?
I think I have a strong will, and I think the need to get this information out there drives me. And then having the sprouting energy allows me to do the hard work.
Now, for people who have no idea what the sprout diet is, besides picking up your book, what would be the first few steps you would recommend? Let's say me, I want to change my diet. Where should I start?
I posted really comprehensive content on my Sprout Whiz on TikTok or at Doug Evans on Instagram. And so you can learn for free a lot of information about sprouting right on the social channels, right there.
Beautiful. Where else can people find more about you, Doug?
Besides
You
your
can
Instagram.
sign up for my newsletter at thesproutbook.com. www.thesproutbook.com. And otherwise, that's it. I'm on those two platforms, and they're keeping me pretty busy.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today, Doug. Really appreciate it. I love how you've been able to just shoot down every single question I had. You've been just shooting them all down. You're super focused, and now I really want to try a diet now. I can just see how locked in and focused you are. So I really appreciate your time today, Doug.
Well, good luck. You know a lot about studying. Imagine getting people to keep their focus with sprouts.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, guys. This is another episode of The Flip Side. Hope you guys made it this far. If you guys did, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you guys next week with nothing but more value. Peace.